like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. So family, one thing, we're bringing the casket today to say to this nation that we can no longer have sisters and brothers to die because of the issues that we're having with health care and ecological devastation. So we're here for a reason. There's a purpose. And so we're all here together to join in one song and in one fight together. Am I right? So I want us to sing loud and strong to this Capitol, because they may think that we're here and we're just here for any ordinary rally, but we're here to shut it down. And we're here to send a strong message. So I need all of you to raise your voices with me. And can I get some hand claps out here? Put them signs down for a minute. And let's get into the mode of why we're here today. Because I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm tired of putting folks in caskets before their time. So I'm here for war today. And I need to know who's with me. So if you're with me, I need you to raise your hand. And I need you to clap your voice. And I need you to sing with me, "We shall not be moved." So if you're with me, come on and sing. We shall not, we shall not. We're fighting for clean water. Folks still drinking bottled water. That's a shame. Come on. Captain Flowers will tell us we're fighting for sanitation. Fighting for sanitation. We shall not be moved. Fighting for sanitation. We shall not be moved. Last time. Let's go strong. Let's go out of here. We shall not. We shall not. Don't lose. Come on. Come on. McConnell know we shall not be moved. Let Paul Ryan know we shall not be moved. Even let 45 know. One last time, y'all sound real good. I said we shall not.
We shall not be moved.
Come on, clergy. Come on, clergy.
We shall not be moved.
Come on, y'all. Today we have with us some very, very special clergy who are going to lead us in our action today. We have Reverend Graylin Hagler here from the D.C. area. Let's show him some love. And Reverend Beth Johnson from California. From
the Unitarian Universalists. Let's show them some love, y'all. I need you to keep that energy up today, because that's what they want us to do, is to be tired. They want us to lose heart. But how many of you are not going to lose heart? How many of you are not going to give up? And how many of you say, if this campaign fails before it fails, we'll all go down in jail? So I want you to keep your energy up today. Let's give them some love.
Good afternoon. It is good to see you here on the Capitol grounds. But this is the people's ground. That they may think that they got some power in there, but we're going to show them that we got some power in us out here. Because we're here to stand up for justice and to stand up for that which is right and to stand up for mercy and compassion. We're gathered here today to talk about health care and the ecological devastation that is going on around us. One cannot be separate from the other. It is all connected and interconnected. In fact, all of the issues that we've been talking about every single week are connected to one another, because there are no individual issues, because if it affects one, it affects all of us. I want to introduce to you today Reverend Johnson, who is the chair of the California Poor People's Campaign and the Interfaith Justice, and she is here to speak and lead and help guide us today. Reverend Johnson.
Good morning. It is good to be with you today. Before I begin, I would like to recognize that we stand on sacred ground, and unless we are an indigenous person, this land is not ours. We name today that we stand on the land of the Pamunkey, the Kané, the Piscataway, and names that have probably been lost. So let us take a moment now before we begin. Feel your feet on this earth that we are here to defend and protect, and know that this earth sustains us all, and this land is sacred land. Slaves built this, the White House. Blood was spilled here. There's genocide here. We are a country founded in genocide and drenched in blood, and we are here to live into another reality. I bring you greetings from your siblings in the Poor People's Campaign in California, a national call for more revival. A little correction, I'm on the coordinating committee and the coordinator for nonviolent moral direct action. The other four co-chairs are in Sacramento right now. It's good to be with you as we join our voices and our bodies with those around this nation who are demanding the right to a healthy planet and to health care for all bodies. Now we do this, beloved friends, because bodies count, and because everything is connected, and everything is at stake, and everything that we do matters, and everybody has a right to live. Now here in DC, y'all have been drenched with too much rain. While in California, we long for the blessing of such thirst-quenching balm. Across this land, there is evidence of climate change and the ecological devastation that targets first and most severely the most vulnerable. I give thanks for you and for those around the country who are using our bodies as moral witnesses, and especially those who have been most affected with much to risk, to demonstrate the way of interconnectedness and the power of this fusion movement. This is a movement, not a moment. Now, my beloved friends, in this interdependent web of all existence, our actions matter, our bodies count, black and brown bodies, earth body, and all the bodies that dwell on this earth. We acknowledge the legacy of white supremacy, the doctrine of discovery and manifest destiny, that caused the genocide of our indigenous siblings, the enslavement of our black siblings, that sought to obliterate the ancient knowledge of how to live on this earth in harmony with all life. But we know, we remember, when you feel your heartbeat, let that be a reminder to you of the heartbeat of the earth and the heartbeat of all who will to live. In this pernicious policies that privilege pipelines and extraction and fossil fuels over the preservation of our lands, our sacred lands, and sacred lives. We acknowledge, when we say water is life, we acknowledge the water protectors who have led and shown the way, who have risked so much. Water is life. Now we say this even as water, the water we need to live, is being commodified and privatized and denied, as 13.8 million households cannot afford water. Nearly 12% of the U.S. households face unaffordable water bills. That is immoral. It's a shame. Shame. We say water is life, even though private utilities, water utilities, charge 59% more per unit than publicly owned water systems. Shame. Shame. And now over 200,000 Native American and Alaskan Native Americans lack access to complete plumbing. Shame. And these corporate interests profit off of pillaging. Since 1998, there have been 55,712 major oil gas leaks or ruptures on U.S. pipelines. The BP oil spill, accounting for 95% of the oil spilled in the past 50 years, and who has been held accountable? No one. Shame. A pittance of a fine. There are more than 1,100 coal ash sites throughout the country. The Department of Defense accounted for more than 70% of the U.S. total greenhouse gas emissions in 2016. At least 4 million families are being exposed to high levels of lead from drinking water and other sources. Shame. Shame. This has made us sick, and it is killing us. It has made us, humans and others, sick in body, suffering from the effects of the despoilation of the earth, the pollution of the lands and waters, the effect of climate change on the most devastating to the poorest among us. And in the meantime, sick bodies go untouched and unhealed for lack of health care. It is wrong, and it is immoral.
Shame.
Shame to place a death-dealing economic system above the lives of people and the living systems of Earth betrays the sacred trust to care for life and the moral responsibility to care for each other. There are more than 32 million people who lack health insurance in this U.S., including 4.6 million black people, 10.2 million Latinx, 13.6 million whites. Over 10,000 people died. Over 10,000 people died in 2017 while waiting for a judge's decision about their disability benefits. We say no. Shame. These bodies count. Everybody's got a right to live. The U.S. spends more per capita on health care than any other country. And yet, so many go without health care. Medical debt is the number one cause of personal bankruptcy. Before we walked up here today, we heard stories and names of people who've died, whose lives have been affected. Every person here knows someone who's been affected by environmental racism, ecological devastation, the lack of health care. Now, my friends, this is what we know. These policies make us sick in our bodies, and they make us sick in our souls. It is soul sickness to split from the source of life, to betray our mother, to betray the most vulnerable. It is soul sickness to disregard and to betray our interdependence. And so we gather here at this nation's capital, our parched and drenched and empowered voices, calling out our thirst for justice for people and for the earth. Because we are an army rising up. We are an army rising up to break every chain. Beloved ones, today we will hear the voices of those most affected, those brave and bold and passionate ones who are leading us in a good way. Reverend Hagler, will you help me to introduce the speakers?
And we want to have come and speak to us Wanda Miller, who is from York, Pennsylvania, and put people first in Pennsylvania. She is here to talk about the attacks on healthcare and SNAP in her Pennsylvania community. And then there is Reverend Damaris Whitaker, who is from New York City and the Fort Washington Collegiate Church. She is here to talk about the devastation in Puerto Rico.
Good afternoon. My name is Wanda Miller, and I'm a member of Put People First PA. I live in York, PA. I'm on disability and receive SNAP and Medicaid. Power holders are waging war on the poor. Currently in PA, there are two bills that seek to impose work requirements and time limits on individuals receiving Medicaid and SNAP. The fact is that the majority of, quote, able-bodied people utilizing the programs already work. For example, my friend Tiana Byers is 62, collecting Social Security, retirement, working a slightly above minimum wage job, and utilizing SNAP assistance. After years of being uninsured, Tiana qualified for Medicaid under the PA Medicaid expansion of 2016. Shortly after obtaining Medicaid, Tiana was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, a serious and potentially life-threatening illness. Last year, Tiana's mother died and left her the family home. In order to survive, Tiana was forced to take early Social Security retirement to supplement her income. Upon receiving Social Security, Tiana's SNAP benefit was dropped from $200 to $15. From $200 to $15. Tiana now relies on a food bank, which doesn't always have the food she needs to stay healthy. A flare in Tiana's Crohn's disease could very well lead to her being hospitalized to prevent her from working. If Medicaid and SNAP benefits are contingent upon work requirements, then Tiana's inability to work could lead to her death. The proposed work requirements are nothing more than an insidious attempt to remove people from these vital programs. At 62, my friend should not have to struggle this way. She should not have to jump through hoops like a trained seal in order to obtain food. Being poor is not a crime. Poverty is the crime. Denying food, shelter, denying people food, shelter, and medical care is violence. Seniors being forced to choose between buying groceries and paying their mortgage is violence. All people deserve food, shelter, access to health care, and a livable wage. To deny any human being those basic rights is unethical, immoral, and cruel. It is violence. Fight poverty, not the poor. Thank you.
Buenas tardes. My name is Reverend Damaris Whitaker. I am the senior minister for Washington Collegiate Church, United Church of Christ in New York City. Yeah. Hurricane Maria is the deadliest ecological devastation event that has affected the island of Puerto Rico, an island where the poverty rate was already 43.5% prior to the hurricane. And then after the storm, it experienced the longest blackout in U.S. history. Last week, we were devastated when we read the Harvard University report which issued findings that estimated the deaths of 4,645 Puerto Ricans. That is 4,645 Puerto Ricans. And all I had to say was, say their names. What are their names? Say their names. The lack of access to health care was the largest contributor to this calamity. My aunt Teresa, who resides in Humacao, Puerto Rico, has come close to being part of that number several times after Maria. Still, she was without electricity last time I spoke to her a week or so ago, struggling to cool her insulin and get access to her medication. I have walked the streets of some of the most affected towns in the island of Puerto Rico after Maria, Yabucoa, Orocovis, Humacao, and I have seen and witnessed for myself the impact of this devastation and the struggles of the elderly and the young for access to healthcare that is sustainable and is quality. Today, 8 months later, thousands of Puerto Rican families also are without clean drinking water. I remind the citizens of the United States that Puerto Ricans are American citizens. As a woman of faith who believes that we are all God's children, all God's children, I ask the citizens of this country, what is the value of a Puerto Rican life? What is the value of a Puerto Rican life? Friends, what we are witnessing is the public crucifixion of the Puerto Rican people, crucified on a lynching tree of capitalism and racism. All right. While Wall Street continues to profit from the Puerto Rico debt, Puerto Ricans are dying. And it is time that we call it by its name. It is sin. It is evil. It is unjustifiable. We demand that there is an audit of the Puerto Rican debts. We demand that there is an audit of the debts after Maria. We demand that there is a sustainable and there is a green reconstruction of Puerto Rico so that the earth can breathe again. Thank you. Adelante.
Wanda Miller and Reverend Damaris Whitaker. And Reverend Whitaker lifted up the fact that people had died in Puerto Rico, and we have this coffin here as a symbol of the deaths that have taken place because of our disregard for health care and our disregard of the earth and our disregard of the decency of life. But you know what? They don't like to have images here on the Capitol grounds. So we were informed that this casket is not permitted, right? And that it must be taken away. But we know what the real issue is that this stares them in the face and remind folk that we're talking about real lives. We're talking about human beings. We're talking about children and families. We're talking about the people who continue to get sacrificed on the altar of greed and on the altar of political expediency. It ain't right, but it's what we have to do. Erica's going to lead us in a song. Even as we say shame, shame, she's going to lead us in a song.
Let's go.
And now this is what we know, that in this movement work, they might take away a symbol, but they can't take away the truth. And that we also know that we need to be flexible and we need to sing our way through this movement. And we need to hear the voices of the people. So we have two more speakers that we're going to hear from today. You're going to hear from Leslie Boyd. She's from Asheville, North Carolina, and the Forward Together Mall movement in North Carolina. This is what was on the casket, by the way, my friends. And we have our physicians holding this. That's right. Because these physicians have seen so much death, and they have struggled so hard to care for people, only for them to be turned around, but we're not going to be turned around anymore. So again, Leslie Boyd is from Asheville, North Carolina, and the Forward Together Mall movement there. She's here to talk about the need for the expansion of healthcare. Then we'll be followed by Pastor James from Baltimore and the Barnes Memorial Church. He is here today because he is fighting to save his church from unaffordable water bills. Let's bring up Leslie Boyd first.
I bring you greetings from North Carolina, where I am on the Coordinating Committee for the Poor People's Campaign. You can take away my son's casket, but he lived. He existed. He was loved. He was murdered by a broken healthcare system. This is my son, Mike Danforth. Mike died on April 1st, 2008, because a birth defect was a pre-existing condition. Before the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies were able to deny him coverage because he might get sick and interfere with their profits. With no insurance, he couldn't get care. Rather than make an effort to treat him, doctors demanded thousands of dollars he didn't have in cash up front. When he couldn't get the money together, they were allowed to refuse him treatment. And the emergency room, and you may not know this, the emergency room doesn't have to find out what's wrong with you. They only have to stabilize you. So my son left the emergency room three times with pain pills and laxatives when the problem was a malignant tumor blocking his colon. By the time anybody did anything for him, the cancer had spread and there was no cure. He was 33 years old. He had to leave his wife to get Medicaid. He applied for disability. It took 37 months and he was dead 9 days before his first check came. Think of what would have happened if he didn't have friends and family who loved and cared for him. He was a waiter. He was a full-time student with a 375 grade point average. He was a volunteer helping people get and staying sober. He was a kind and loving man. But he died because some people think everyone who isn't wealthy is somehow morally inferior or just looking for a handout. It is never, ever a handout to save someone's life. It is our moral obligation. The Affordable Care Act would have saved his life. Indeed, it has saved tens of thousands of American lives. It has given 33 million people access to the care they need by allowing them to buy health insurance. In all but 17 states, the expansion of Medicaid has opened up access to health care to millions more Americans whose incomes fall below the poverty level. But in those 17 states, including mine, they've refused to take the federal money that can help so many. In North Carolina alone, we have 500,000 people who have no access to care. And every single day, 3 to 5 of them die. Shame! Nationally, free clinics are in danger of closing because Congress won't approve the funding that they've always had and that they need to stay open. They serve 26 million Americans. Shame! If you think this is okay, and I'm talking to you, if you think this is okay, you need to stop calling yourself pro-life. You need to stop calling yourself a person of faith, any faith. You need to go and read the account of Judgment Day in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus reminds us, reminds us that when we mistreat the hungry, the sick, or the stranger, we are rejecting and refusing to help Jesus himself. You who vilify and marginalize the poor, you need to repent. You who have the power to vote and secure the health of these, your fellow human beings, need to do that. Michael was my son. I can never get him back. But I can, and I will resist every attempt to deny the rest of America the care they need, the care my beloved son never got. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I am Pastor Mark James from Baltimore City, where I pastor the Barnes Memorial Church, located on 30th Street and Hillen Road, just about a mile down the road from Morgan State University. For the past 3 years, I have been fighting uphill against my municipality, who is greedy, who is in illicit business relations with out-of-town investors who come in to pay the liens of unpaid water bills that have become liens against properties, and the newest trend is to victimize the faith-based community. We have a historic building. We are a congregation of about 35. We had a payment arrangement. We were sold in a tax sale anyway for a hidden environmental citation that was way outdated, for which we never received due process. We went all the way to writ of possession, and we were about to be evicted, but then something good happened. Ran into the Food and Water Watch, began to activize with them over the last year, and we have rallied back all the way from the dead. I'm telling you that water affordability is a basic human right. Just as it is to have it, it is just as a right for it to be affordable. And so we have it as a segue into gentrification. And so it will never go away, but we are doing our best to make sure that we revise the process. I am here today in living, breathing form to not just pump up the volume, but to refresh your spirits and let you know that activism works. That we need to keep on letting our voices being heard, because it does matter. We are rallying back. We were supposed to be evicted on May 8th. We went to court on May 30th, and we are awaiting a favorable ruling. We are going to continue fighting, not just for the faith-based community, but for the elderly grandma who has to decide whether or not to pay her utilities or to be set out on the street. We are going to, or to be able to afford her medication. We're going to keep on fighting. If you believe in the people's, poor people's campaign, if you believe in the initiatives of all that is fair and just, let me hear you roar. Yeah. It works. Keep it up.
Struggling with water all across the country to have clean water. And also, after the governments allowed folk to mess up the waterway, then they're shackling poor folk to now pay for the cleanup. That's what's going on in D.C., in Baltimore, all over. So we must be aware that here in D.C., for example, they allowed the zoo to take dung out of the zoo and dump it in the river for years, for 50 years, and now we're paying for the cleanup. Now, as a part of our spirit of understanding that we are also a spirit of a movement, not only of speeches, but of music, and we're going to allow our souls to be fed a little bit right now with some music, and the song is Revolution, I understand? Revolution. And so listen to that and allow your spirit to be filled up with some movement music.
Verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Preach up, for God shall wipe away, yes, sir, every tear from their eyes. Yes, sir. Get ready for the revolution.
Do you want a revolution?
eternity. I know you're feeling him. 500 days left into the new millennium. You hear them trumpets on the sky cracks. The last, the first, the last, it won't pass. So don't be cold slipping, brother. Don't be tripping, brother. Cause when I see him, I'm giving really the brother.
They say we own too much. We doom too much. You step against us, then you own too much. You don't step to what we're doing when the spirit is moving. Don't be hating what I'm doing. I'm the vessel he's using. Everywhere I be, they try to judge me. They try to shake me. They try to buzz me. But they can't break me cause I'm down with Christ. Don't try to new things. You make me feel all right.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I know I can. And I just want to look out. I'm looking out, and I'm seeing some of the various organizations and groups that are here. I think I see the American Federation of Teachers over there in the blue. I know I see, what is that, National Nurses United over there in the red. Right? Our physicians are here. Call out really loud if you're from another group. The Montgomery County Faith Alliance for Climate Solutions is here. I know the UFCW, United Food and Commercial Workers are here. Fight for 15 is here. Doctors for America is here. And so we stand here together. Now I want us to listen to Catherine Flowers, who's from Lowndes County, Alabama, and the Equal Justice Initiative in Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise. She is here today to talk about access to public sanitation services. And then we will also hear from Anu Yadav, who is here from Washington, D.C. And she is here to talk about the right to health care.
My name is Catherine Coleman Flowers, and I'm a native of Lowndes County, Alabama. For those of you that don't know where Lowndes County is, it is located between Selma and Montgomery. And every year people go to Selma to go to the Edmund Pettus Bridge and pass by people in rural Lowndes County that are living with raw sewage on the ground. I'm a disabled veteran from a military family where my father and three brothers served in the armed forces. My background is in education. Actually, I started teaching here in D.C. at Shaw Junior High School. But I returned home in 2000 looking to help my native county, Lowndes County, and to seek justice. In 2002, I learned that poor people were being arrested because they could not afford on-site wastewater treatment. And I became involved as an advocate. Later, after being bitten by mosquitoes that were nesting on raw sewage that was straight piped into a pit, I broke out in a skin rash that could not be diagnosed. We then partnered with the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor and found evidence of hookworm in a study of some Lowndes County residents. That is a clear sign of extreme poverty in America's rural communities. 50 years later, we're dealing with people with raw sewage running into their backyards or back into their homes. People are living in mobile homes that decrease instead of increase in value and are death traps in the era of climate change and extreme weather patterns caused by ecological devastation. Poor and marginalized people are suffering first and worse, whether they are white people in Appalachia, indigenous peoples at Standing Rock, or people in Puerto Rico. We must join together to fight the health crisis, the water crisis, the clean air crisis, inequality, ecological devastation, and its progeny climate change to ensure human rights and a livable planet for seven generations to come. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Everybody up here is really brave. This is my second time doing this. Hi. Okay, here we go. My name is Anu Yadav. I'm a playwright and actress here in D.C. And I got to tell you that I first came to this movement work thinking I was an ally, that I was middle class, whatever that means, that I was secure. And then in 1 month, I lost my housing, my health care, and my income. And I really didn't want to cry again, you know. But it's all right, it's all right. Yeah, right, okay. So my partner and I moved between countless living room floors and spare couches for a really long time, and many homes we couldn't even stay in because climate change has increased the humidity, leading to more mold and respiratory issues throughout D.C., and it aggravated my partner's asthma and allergies to the point he couldn't breathe and his muscles were giving out on him. I had a growing lump in my abdomen, but I couldn't afford a CAT scan that the doctor said that I needed to know what it was. So, you know, being poor is never any one issue. We do not have that luxury. It is every issue. It is every issue. And in my crisis, I realized that I had been lied to my entire life. Middle class security never existed. I'm poor. I've been poor. I was poor as a child when my dad killed himself and my mother was juggling working at Burger King, going to community college, caring for me and my brother without any support. I was poor and I didn't know it, and I'm not here as an ally. I'm here for me, I'm here for my family, and I'm here for the many others who do recognize and those who do not yet know to claim this movement as rightfully theirs. Because we are in crisis. We are all in crisis, and that is why we are here. Because we are here to demand a new moral discourse in this nation. One that says poor people are not the problem. Systemic poverty is the problem. And we will not stop until we win. Thank you.
You heard it. And we get ready to march in just a little bit. But we're thankful for these voices that have come here to inform us, and in many cases not to inform us, but to remind us where we come from and who we are. Because one thing that is interesting in this movement is that many of us have been under the delusion that we're talking about somebody else. When in fact, most of us, as somebody reminded me last night, is less than one paycheck away from homelessness. And if you go to the doctor, you still gotta pay. And you still gotta pay and pay and pay. And sometimes there's no end to what you have to pay. We know what's going on around us. We know that folks here who think that they are in control want to deny climate change, right? Don't even want it mentioned. Don't mention it. Censor it down so that people can pretend that it don't exist, right? I'll take the regulations out of the law that prevents people and companies from dumping into rivers and waterways and pretend that it's all okay. Well, we're here to say that it's not okay. We're here to say that we know better. We're here to say that our eyes are open and we're not pretending that we don't see any longer, that we don't hear, that our eyes are open and our feet are marching and our spirit is enraged today. One thing that we should not ever forget is that, yes, we have a serious movement that is talking about the issues, but we also have a joy that keeps us moving every single day. Because when you've been marginalized or you've been poor, you know that there is a joy that is in you because you would burst out crying if it wasn't there. Right, the fact that we can laugh and the fact that we can dance and the fact that we can tell a joke, that's a good thing, but don't be deluded because we are about serious business even as we rejoice in one another, even as we stand together and recognize the humanity in each other. We are no longer alone and we are no longer isolated. This is a poor people's campaign, a national call for moral revival. We're going to have Rob who come up and give us some directions on what we're going to do.
Give it up for our host today, Reverend Johnson and Reverend Hagler. At this time in our program, I'll ask everyone with an armband who has been trained, everyone, we do want you to stay as we move into the next part But everyone with an armband, if you come to the front right here, if you came to St. Mark's and did the training, just come right down here to the front. Everyone else, I'm going to ask you to take about 5 steps to the right. And so before we break up, just to move everyone over a little bit and to create a line, an opening. And if you look at Keith, raise your hand, Keith, as we separate, we might need to move these chairs right here. As we prepare our hearts and prepare our minds for this next part of the action. We know that the dead do speak, as we saw today, that Abel's blood can cry from the ground. And so at this time, we're asking everyone to remember those who they're here for, remember the many thousand gone, those who have been lost to lack of health care, and all of the evils that we're talking about, to hold them in your heart and create a little tunnel. And so you can spread out all the way down. You want to spread out all the way down. Marcy's going to take them further down. And if you just reach your hand out to the moral witnesses who are going to bear witness in the Capitol today. Everyone is welcome to follow us in for support as we go in and get in line. And you will have clear directions from anyone in orange or yellow vests in the campaign. And we're going to do this silently as we meditate on all those lives, the stories that we've heard today. But we will make them hear us even in our silence. We will make them hear us in our activism, make them hear us in a long freedom march. This is the long road to justice. And we are so excited that we are all family now. So please don't leave without meeting someone new, without making a connection. Let's make them hear us.
Make them hear you.
Tell y'all we're coming straight through here.
How justice was our battle and how justice was denied. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And say to those who blame us for the way we chose to fight, that sometimes there are battles that are more than black or white. And I could not put down my sword when justice was my right. Make them hear you. Go out and tell the story to your daughters and your sons. Make them hear you. And tell the men who are struggling when not your own voice. Make them hear
I've been doing the
I did not go do the training, no. I was trying to, but I think I have
Yeah, you want so more than yes.
Oh, wow. It's on the anniversary of Martin
Luther King. And then we're going to come in for the
If that happens. They're joining us right now, so I need you to raise your voices with me. And we're going to send a strong message to the nation today that we shall not be moved.
By two, y'all.
Thank you.
Flagler. We're going to stop there.
George Washington again?
It's really
because we can, you know, the right.
Weld family on the wall.
That's right. And I do have to say, that the Unitarian Universalist was our doing so much. I think you know it. It's a testament to me. That's needed to be done for so I can't box everybody.
Okay, hold on.
That we'd like to deliver.
No, sorry, the tours aren't allowed past this location.
Oh, this isn't a tour.
Yeah, I understand, but
we'd like
you got to go through his offices
okay.
Over at his...
So you can't take that
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you. So much.
Nice try, though.
Hi, give it a shot.
Yeah. Try that way now, Nick.
You know the drill, huh? Say what?
Sorry.
But that's not true. The reason this is a car is
Orion, right?
This way. Yeah. How many?
Just these two.
I got my pass, too.
No, I need staff ID, please.
Oh, where is it? What do I do with it?
You need to be an employee here to go this way, here. But tours are fine here in the rotunda area.
We want to deliver a letter. That's what we want to do.
We have an off-site delivery if you want to deliver.
No, we want to deliver a letter to Raya.
No, you cannot hand deliver a letter. We have an off-site.
Will you take it and deliver it for me?
No, I cannot. I'm sorry. We have delivery processes for that.
No, but we want to do it a little bit differently. Will you deliver the letter for us, Lieutenant?
Sure can.
No?
No.
Oh, nobody here? Lieutenant, you going to deliver the letter for us?
Like 2 weeks ago now. We didn't deliver it then. We're not delivering it now.
Well, then it's overdue mail, so you should deliver it today.
No.
We understand your position.
Thank you. Let's go back.
All right, great. Then what are we going to do?
We're going to do it here. We're going over there.
I'm not sure how long this is going to last. But...
Everybody gather over here. As you know, we attempted to deliver a letter to McConnell and to Ryan. And at each instant, the police said we could not deliver it. One of them said that you tried the same thing 2 weeks ago and I didn't deliver it then. I said, well, it's overdue mail. You need to deliver it today. That argument didn't go over well, but Reverend, will you lift up the letter that we were trying to deliver to these folks?
Well, we tried to deliver a letter to Speaker Ryan and to Senator McConnell. And we couldn't do that either, so no one wanted to take either of the letters. And this is what it says. All across the United States, in state capitals and Washington, D.C., policies that promote systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, and ecological devastation are threatening our democracy and decaying our national morality. Today, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for more revival, is sounding the alarm on ecological devastation and on the crisis of health care impacting millions of people around the country. Here are just a few facts. Did you know that 13.8 million U.S. households cannot afford water?
Shame!
That is nearly 12% of U.S. households.
Did you know?
Did you know?
Federal assistance to local water systems peaked in 1977. It is 74% lower today than it was 40 years ago.
Shame!
Private water utilities charge 59% more per unit of water than publicly owned water systems.
Did you know?
At least 4 million families are being exposed to high levels of lead from drinking water and other sources.
Shame!
In 2016, 540,000 households, that's 1.4 million to 1.7 million people, reported a lack of access to complete plumbing facilities.
Shame!
This includes 200,000 Native American and Alaskan Native Americans.
Shame.
Since 1998, there have been 5,712.
If you do not cease and desist at this time, you will be arrested. This is your first warning.
Department of Defense accounted for more than 70% of the total U.S. greenhouse gases in 2016.
Shame.
There are more than 32 million people who lack health insurance in the U.S.
We shall.
We shall not, be more sick.
Let us pray together. Lord, we come to you now.
And we give you sir, I'm praying right now.
Thank you.
You're not praying right now. You've been given three warnings. This is your last warning.
Okay, but
leave now.
I am saying a prayer.
If you do not move now, this charge will be up.
Dear God, we stand on this ground. We stand on this land.
So what's your idea?
We stand on the land that
what you need to
taken
okay.
from the
right
people.
Here.
We stand in front of a picture of the baptism of the Lord.
DC.
Oh, that's right, capitals. Poverty.
Everybody has a lot. Don't go.
Get in a group together.
Follow him.
We're going
there. Right to live and before this jail, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to live. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. In the U.S. Capitol, I'm gonna let it shine. In the U.S. Capitol, I'm gonna let it shine. In the U.S. Capitol, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Standing up for health care, I'm gonna let it shine. Standing up for health care, I'm gonna let shine. Standing up for health care, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm standing up for Mother Earth, I'm gonna let it shine. Standing up for Mother Earth, I'm gonna let it shine. Standing up for Mother Earth, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine all over the Capitol. I'm gonna let it shine. nation. We're standing up for health care. I'm gonna let it shine. Standing up for health care. I'm gonna let it shine. Standing up for health care. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Standing for a clean earth. I'm gonna let it shine. Standing for a clean earth. I'm gonna let it shine.
Thank you. Appreciate it.